About the gospel and the good news of our Savior coming to this earth.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest
say hello to one another before we're seated.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Community Church. And buenos dias for our visitors from Argentina. Great to have you here this morning. And other visitors as well. But I just met a nice family from Argentina that are here this morning. So glad to have you. My name is Angel Rivera, and I have the privilege of serving as an elder here at Bethel. And we're just so glad you're here this morning, not only as we celebrate Christmas and celebrate the birth of our Savior, God's the surprise from our God, but also just glad that you're here to worship. And we invite you on other Sundays, come meet with us. We have a gift for you this morning over in our Connect Center, so if you stop by there, hopefully I will remember to try and be there. And meet you, but we definitely want to welcome you as you come this morning. We also have a little card in the pew in front of you, so if you could just fill that out, give your information, and we'd like just to know a little bit about you. Well, we have a baby, a new baby into the Bethel family, and that is Kathy Korsch's son and daughter. Rob and Janet had a baby girl, Coral Rose. She was born on the 25th of November, 6 pounds, 6 ounces, and 19 inches. So we rejoice with Kathy this morning and her family. Yeah. We will be also having a children's performance. The Children's Ark Choir will be performing their Christmas singing competition of Pitch Perfect Proportion. this Wednesday at December 11th at 7:30 p.m. right here in the sanctuary, and then once again next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. So we invite you to come and encourage our children's art choir. Next week, we will be voting on our new constitution. There was also an update that was sent via email of the latest suggestions and corrections. So if you haven't seen that, please speak to one of the ushers, and they will make sure we get that information to you, or see Randy Hankins. We will be voting next Sunday. If you will not be here, there are absentee ballots available for you today. And then just one final bit of encouragement to our pastors. There are envelopes in your program today. This is a great time for us to just show appreciation for our pastors, to bless them in a special way by either a note, a card, a little note in here, a gift card for a restaurant, perhaps even a check. If you decide to write a check, write it directly to them. You can drop it in the offering. You can drop it off in the office. You can hand it right to our pastors and just wish them a Merry Christmas at this time and thank them for their ministry in our lives. Great to have you here this morning. Thank you.
And we are grateful that you're all here. We're so blessed to be in a rhythm of the church year called Advent. And last week we kicked off Advent looking at this idea of hope. What is biblical hope? How does that sustain God's people throughout the centuries? And this week marks the second week of Advent where we're going to be discovering this idea of biblical peace. I think a lot of us desire to have hope and peace and love and joy in our life. And so we're going to show a quick video about what does biblical peace look like, what is being offered to us in the person of Jesus Christ in this Advent season. And then we'll have the Stodema family come forward and light both the candles of hope and peace, and then pray as we receive our offering. So let's turn our eyes to the screen and watch what biblical peace is all about.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex, with lots of pieces, that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
At this point, I'm going to ask the Stoudemire family to come forward, and they will light the candles of hope and the candle of peace, and then pray for our people that we would be a people filled with hope and filled with peace. And then they will also pray as we receive our offering.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you so much that we can just be here and to celebrate this time of just waiting for you. God, we thank you for giving us Christ on Christmas. And God, thank you for the peace that he brought to us, to repair our relationships, to end conflicts and to right wrongs, God. God, we pray this morning that you would just bless the offering that we give you. We pray that you would take these offerings and that you would do your work with them. We pray these things in your Son's name.
God the Surprise is based off the idea that so often God brings about his purposes for his own glory that from our perspective are surprising to us. If we could have all seeing eyes, we would not be so astonished. But we are limited in our perspective. And so often we're left wondering, how in the world will this situation be used for my good and for God's glory? God often uses unexpected and surprising circumstances to accomplish his plans. We're like the shepherds in Luke 2. They experienced the glory of the Lord shining around them. They heard good news proclaimed to them, but they were seized with fear. The irony is palpable. The angel is bringing good news of great joy that will be for all the people, but the shepherds are filled with great fear. This unexpected and surprising work of God left them curious. In verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And the surprising shock of the angelic visit produced fear in the shepherds. And that fear led them to curiosity. And that curiosity led them to another unexpected surprise location, a feeding trough. The text actually says that when the shepherds testified to what they heard and saw, people were left in a state of thamazo. That's the Greek word for wonder, marvel, and amazement. The birth of Jesus was just the start of the amazing work of God in human history. In fact, there were very few things about Jesus that were not surprising. It's interesting to read on in the story and notice Mary's response. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Maybe that's what we need to do when God in his sovereign purposes brings about shocking, unexpected, and surprising things in our lives. Maybe we should embrace the mystery and the uncertainties of life, all the while holding on to the truth that God is working all things out according to the counsel of his own will. And as we embrace and ruminate on God's sovereign actions in human history, maybe we can find ourselves adoring, enjoying, and praising the God who is full of surprises.
Thank you.
Who'd assume that this could be? The King of Kings volunteered to take on the form of a servant and pass through his own creature's uterus to become the incarnate, omnipotent God crying as a baby. Who'd assume that this could be? I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space with eyes and legs, who died to save a violent race whose sin would bring them hell. Who'd assume that this could be? God became a man penetrating into human history, and he did it completely opposite than people thought he would. The promised Messiah didn't come seeking a life of commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with the lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was known as the most disgusting known infection. See? Wait, are you kidding me? What great humility. The second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Check his earthly ministry. How God walked this earth, which was cursed from Adam. There's no question that you're G-O-D. But you laid aside the full expression of your deity. You surfed the chasm no words can fathom. How God walked this wicked earth. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools, despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but remained silent when struck by violent imbeciles. How gracious and patient was he. He took a cosmic plunge, put on some lungs, and on the cross became to God a sponge to soak up his wrath, so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff. How can one man in a matter of hours drain the cup of God's wrath that would have taken an eternity to pour out on me? How can this be?
Came to see the wondrous sight amid the strange. Savior of the world is born. Choir sing
joy to the world, to the world. Joy to the world, to the world.
Rejoice, rejoice, our King is here.
He shall reign forever.
Man of earth and angels cheer.
He shall reign forever.
Oh, glory right before our eyes.
He shall reign forever.
Majesty in a manger lies.
He shall reign forever.
Oh,
joy to the world.
Offer him their crown.
He shall reign forever.
From then to now and far beyond.
He shall reign forever.
We'll stand and join in the endless song.
He shall reign forever.
We'll sing in joy
to the world, to the world. The Lord is come. Joy to the world, to the world. God sent his son. Go tell the world, tell the world.
But he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
And he shall reign forever and ever.
All sing it choir.
And he shall reign
up as we sing Joy to the World together. Sing with me.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let man their song employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sound. can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
And no more let sin.
No more let sin or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground.
He comes to make,
he comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
And we sing about the joy he brings.
Joy, unspeakable joy, overflowing well. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
God, we thank you for the joy that is evident in your people's lives. God, it's present because you are present. Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, I pray that we, your people, would be able to learn how to embrace the mystery and the surprises that you so often bring into our lives and receive them with joy. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that that would also lead us to a moment of adoration, to worship you with reverence and awe for all those things. So Lord, would you continue to be with us now, even as we transition on to this next movement. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. stand as we sing together. Come, let us sing a song.
Come, let us sing a song. A song declaring that we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. He's all we need.
Come, let us sing a song.
Come, let us sing a song. A song declaring we belong to Jesus. Sing to the King.
No.
streams in his heart. Dead to the root, yet a new flower will blossom. From death and decay there will bloom a fresh start.
Where did the prophet look close to the present? Israel's hope was its newly born king.
Wonderful Counselor, King Hezekiah, oh surely of him did the oracle sing. God of our doubting
Prophecy foretold of one who would rule Israel, who was from days of old. This town is unassuming and small, though it might be, would be a place of sovereign grace that changed all history. From Bethlehem and Judah, a favored family grew. The faith of Rahab saved her family, and Boaz married Ruth. God's former foes converted by his most gracious hand. This line produced a royal house. King David ruled the land. From Bethlehem in Judah, a virgin bore a son. Our God had come in human flesh. The curse would be undone. By grace, the world's salvation laid in a manger bed. The bread of life was nourished there within the house of bread. By Bethlehem in Judah, a field was filled with grace. As shepherds watched the night sky shine and saw an angel's face. Don't be afraid, he told them. My news brings peace and joy. A Savior has been born to you. He's Mary's baby boy. From Bethlehem in Judah, a redemption would proceed. For we have all been wandering souls, and his grace is what we need. When standing strong, our shepherd laid down his life for sheep, and we, his flock, securely dwell. This one will be our peace.
Let's stand as we sing.
Death could not hold you. The great door before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of
You have no rival.
You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is.
powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
And Lord, we do thank you for the power that is within your name. Lord, that we could come here tonight and be filled with enjoyment and adoration and praise of who you are. God, there was no one worthy to continue on in the unfolding of God's plan except for the Lamb, and that Lamb was the Lamb who was slain. You came to repair the brokenness. You came to repair people who were deep in shadows, in the dark that sometimes seems so overwhelming, will not be overcoming because the light has come, the true light of the world has come. So Lord, I pray that as we conclude this worship experience, that we would all agree together that we long for your second advent, your second return. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel?
Well, the Lamb who died to ransom those who were in slavery is definitely worthy to continue on in the unfolding of God's plan. And one of those things that is future in God's plan is the second advent. He is coming again. I remember that the first time that dawned on me, I was like a senior in high school, and somebody told me that Jesus was going to come back again, and I looked at them like they were crazy. I had no idea that he was coming again. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't know theology. But now all of my hope is based off of that, all right? Because he is the one who will come back and make all things that are broken made whole. He is the one who will return again to ransom his people, and that is the glorious hope that we long for and look forward to. And until then, we are people filled with hope, with peace, with joy, and with love as we anticipate him coming back for his people. So sometimes God brings about mysterious, strange, awkward things that we want to recoil from, events in our lives, but instead of doing that, it's our desire that we would embrace with faith the fact that God is a God full of surprises. And so instead of recoiling and feeling insecure and feeling angry or bothered by what God brings about in our lives by way of circumstances, may we be a people of faith who learn to embrace such mystery, knowing that God is full of surprises. He showed up and became part of his creation in order to undo the curse that was brought on by Adam and Eve's disobedience. And he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died the sacrificial death that we deserve to die. He was buried in the tomb that we should be buried in, and yet he was raised again because of his sinless life. And now he asks all people to believe in that gospel message. That's why we proclaim these things. So that when God brings about mysterious, unforeseen circumstances in your life, that you don't run away from them, but you embrace them by faith that God is working all things out according to the counsel of his own will. And it's for your good and for his glory. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. So that's what we hope would happen for you this Advent season. That you would embrace the God of surprises. And when you do that, you would learn to enjoy, that you would learn to adore, and that you would learn to praise him. So let's go ahead and praise him now. God, I come to you. And just long that I could be that way at all times and in all circumstances, that I could embrace your sovereign plan for my life and be filled with hope, longing for and eagerly expecting you to return and make all things that were wrong right, that you would heal the brokenness, that you yourself would be my shalom, my peace. And God, I pray that for our people here tonight, or this morning as well. God, may you be honored and glorified this Advent season of waiting, and would you fill your people with hope and peace and love and joy as we eagerly anticipate you returning again. And until that day, God, may we enjoy you and adore you and praise you because you are the Lamb who is worthy to receive our praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and say thank you to the choir for all their efforts. And we have a number of musicians that put a lot of hours into rehearsing with us. And so I'm going to point out Craig Allen on the bass guitar, Skylar Rilla on electric and acoustic, Nailu on the keys, and Frank Izzo on the drums. And man, we would be nowhere without Linda. Thank you so much for what you do. She comes every Wednesday night to rehearse us. And a couple people in the background, we got Graydon Real on the sound, Gladstone Metcher on the video, and then Lauren Gaynor designed all the pictures for us, so grateful. All right, let's go ahead and stand up as I pray a benediction over all of us here tonight, or this morning, whatever it is. I'm going to find the benediction in Hebrews because it's something I go to so often in my own life. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May you go in peace and filled with Advent hope this season.